Okay, the scripture today is Colossians 1, 15 through 20. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. The word of God for the people of God.
You know, one of the real problems with having a retired pastor to fill in when the normal pastor is here is that you get an unnormal pastor who takes all of his retired sermons and looks at them and says, oh, that'd be good, I'll put that in there. And he comes up with a volume and a half of sermon material for. So this is a come-and-go Sunday. You can leave when you want to and come back about 2 o'clock, and I'll still be here. Just kidding. Alex, you didn't believe me, did you? Okay, I hope you didn't. Well, I want to first say that we have several of our college students who are of a distance from here, and we'll be going back today. We're glad to have them here with us and wish them a safe journey back. And we're proud of your work and your accomplishments, and that you had a chance to get home and be with your families over the holiday. And we had to send our grandson back yesterday because in Kurtzville it's supposed to get a lot of snow and bad weather today. And so he told me, he said, "Papa, you can have my dessert." I took him up on it. And the other thing I wanted to we were supposed to say, what announcement was I supposed to say about the youth thing? Was there announcements Tuesday? Was I thinking that? It's not about, there are forms out there, though, for camp, aren't there? Not this week, next, okay, next week. Next week, all right, next week. Just wanted to make sure. I didn't want to get anybody worried about me. We're in a contemporary setting, but we are by brand called United Methodist. And United Methodist is, Methodism is a mainline religion, denomination, faith. And we also use liturgical terms when we talk about Advent, we talk about Lent and different things. And today is actually liturgically the last Sunday of the Christian year. Today is the last Sunday. Now, calendar-wise, we know it's the last Sunday of December, right? But liturgically, this is the last Sunday, and it's called Christ the King Sunday. And Pope Pius XI in 1925 proclaimed a festival. They call it the Festival of Christ the King. And we're celebrated the life of Christ. And it's this morning, as you know, all the songs we talked about Christ and our Lord and everything that Christ means to us. Last night we sang songs like "I'll Sing of My Redeemer" and "Take the Name of Jesus with You." And this morning we sang "When Morning Gilds the Sky, May Jesus Christ Be Praised." "Rejoice, the Lord is King." And then for whatever tradition we have, we shared this past few days about Jesus Christ. And so we come today, and I want to talk to you about Christ from the cradle to the cross to the crown. And I want to share with you why we call it the last Sunday of the year. Next Sunday, we'll start Advent, and that's the first Sunday of the Christian year. We start all over. And then we have Christmas, where we share in the than the birth of Christ. And then we have Epiphany, where the wise men brought their gifts, and we celebrate the joy of the sovereignty of the Lord, the whole world. And remember, the wise men were so overwhelmed, and they knew there was something powerfully, something so powerful and overwhelming that they went a different way. They weren't going to go back and tell the emperor where Jesus was born. And then we follow through that, and we have then, we have Lent, and we have just a lot of different seasons with us that we share. Lent is that time where we talk about ultimately the passion and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was in that last hymn that we just shared, the song that we shared about Jesus' death and resurrection. In our scripture this morning that Darren read, it talked about the first dead, first of the dead, and he was raised. And then we have Pentecost, where the celebration of the church, and then we come back to the time which we call Christ the King. Now, I tell it to you just simply where you have a little bit of history. And if you go into a church where they have paraments, which are scarves on the altars and different things, those colors represent a season, a time. Today would be white. And next Sunday will either be purple or blue. And so they used those colors and things back in a time when not everybody was literate and could read, but they knew the colors meant a certain high time of the year and the season. There was a little girl who asked her mother a question. "Mommy, does God believe in us?" Now, I want you to stop and just ponder that question for a few minutes. Does God believe in us? We'll come back to it in just a minute, but I want you to think about it. In the beginning of the Bible, the grand design was a theocracy, which meant that the people were governed by God. God watched everybody. That didn't work too well, and so then we had kings. And kings were kind of like shepherds. They were called to care for the people in their kingdom and to shepherd them along and to nurture them, protect them, and encourage them in their lives. And so when that took place, we find that all through that experience, things started to happen. Kings all of a sudden realized, hey, I can get rich. I can make money. So they were not very good. And they did things that they shouldn't do. So that time seemed to fail and waver. Prophet Ezekiel says in his 34th chapter, he says, "This message that I want to share with you has come from the Lord. And the Lord said, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places they have scattered. I myself will tend my sheep and cause them to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again." The earthly kings had blown it. God will now take over, will seek them and find them, the lost, those who have strayed. He will bind them up, those who are injured. He will strengthen the weak. He will feed them with justice. So on this time, this day, we celebrate Christ the King. And I would boldly answer that question as a little girl. "Mommy, does God believe in us?" Yes. The Bible is always God at work, pulling us back into the fold, caring for us, picking us up. We may not always see it. We may not always understand it, but God does care for us. And I want to share that with you this morning. God believes in us enough to give us the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. And our scripture this morning shared that. So when we come to celebrate Christ the King, I want to share with you three thoughts, okay? So if you're wondering where we are, I'll tell you number one, and I'll say two, and number three, okay? So, number one, when we talk about Christ the King, we want to talk about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. A famous leader by the name of D.T. Niles was a great Christian leader. He once said, "Jesus Christ is not a value that we can negotiate, nor is he a preference that we can reject. He is a truth, and the truth cannot be changed." Now think about that for a minute. How often we want to negotiate the value of our relationship with Christ. I love you, God. I love you with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. But I love football too. I love to hunt. I'm not picking on anybody. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying those words that came to my mind. Anyhow, we always find a way to negotiate the value of where we are. And preference, you know, it says, he said, when he talked here, he said simply this, "Nor is Jesus Christ a preference we can reject." How often we prefer certain things. We prefer Jesus to be a certain way. But if he is the truth cannot be changed, can it? A lie can be changed, but the truth prevails. And that's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, Paul did a great job of sharing with the early churches his feelings and his thoughts and the way in which he had a relationship with Christ Jesus. In the words again, the words this morning of Paul to the Colossians, the image of God is now present through Jesus Christ. And John says, as God, the Word has become flesh and it dwelt among us in fullness and grace. The Word, Jesus Christ, reveals to us God. We celebrate that. And then he says, he is the firstborn of creation. All things have been created through him and for him. And in him, all things are held together. How many times we go through rough times, real bad times? Times of losing somebody we love so dearly, or a time when we've lost our home, maybe to a fire, to a flood, or to a hurricane, or a tornado. And we find that in spite of all of that, there is something that holds us together. And as it evolves, we see that it is God's love working through people and through God's love working through us to hold us together. Long enough that we can get our balance and fall again flat on our feet with a good balance to walk forward. When we think about that, he says he holds all things together. And he is the head of the church. And so when we come together to share and celebrate and worship, we come as a church, the body of Christ, to reveal and share our faith in one another in Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn from the dead. He died, and he came back, and he said, "I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be with me also." He took the sting out of death, and he brought to us an awareness that there is more to come, that this life is just a small part of what we're doing. There's something. There'll be no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more pain. Isn't that awesome? And it's beyond our comprehension, but it's there for us. And he tells us that, so that he might come to have first place in everything. That's what he wants, first place in your life. Not second or third, first place. That's very important. Paul writes in Philippians, second chapter, "Therefore God has exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." See, Paul's saying this is what he wants. This is what God wants you to be, first place. Very important. So, that's point number one. Point number... Okay. I want you to be interactive and awake. Point number two is this simply. We celebrate what it says about us when we think about Christ the King. What does it say about us? Some years ago, I saw a haunting story about a young lady in Des Moines, Iowa. And they found her, the housekeeper found her in her room, unconscious. And they brought her back to consciousness, and they kept trying to get her to communicate. And they said, "What is your name?" And she said, "Uno on my eye." And they thought, "What in the world is that?" And then somebody said, "Wait a minute, turn it around. And it said, "I am no one." Well, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ wants you to know you are somebody. Everybody in this room is somebody. Everybody is somebody. Everyone has a significance and a worth. You are special. And that is the message of the Christian gospel, that everybody is very special. Everybody has an important place in this life. Jesus said, "You are of great worth. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth." And you're so important that God knows how many hairs are on your head. You must, and therefore, he says, be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. He gives us that. Jesus treated people as people of worth. People that were very special, very, very unique. People that had a chance to be somebody because he took that time. He dignified the derelicts of society as well as the religious elite, women of the street as well as mothers, fishermen, fathers, lawyers, farmers, bankers, beggars, the outcasts, the aristocrats, the rich, the poor, the healthy, the slick, the sick, the troubled, the confident, the young, the old, the strong, the weak. And he countenanced that with nothing that stood in his way when it came to giving somebody importance. "Could you give me a drink of water?" And the lady standing there, a Samaritan, "You want a drink of water from me, a Samaritan? I'm an outcast." "Yes. Could I have a drink of water?" And then he said, "I'll tell you what, I can give you water that will never allow you to thirst again." Now, that's the kind of Jesus. It says something about us, that God cares about us, that cares about us so much that we make a difference and we are important. And we're so important in this world that we need not forget that we are the kind of person that God wants. You are somebody. And that is worth everything. Everybody is somebody. When I was a small child, I remember the first song that I was taught in Sunday school. It wasn't the Bible is the book for me. That was the second one. You know what the first one was? I bet you many of you learned it too. "Jesus loves me, this I know." And I was taught that. And my parents taught that to me and helped me to believe that God loves me in spite of everything. I may be a rascal, but God still loves me. I may be a hypocrite, but God still loves me. I may not be kind to some people, but God still loves me. Why? Because you are somebody in God's sight. And like a scattered and lost sheep, he wants to bring you back together. Okay. Point number three. Which means we're what? Getting close to the end. I promised Pastor Brian that I would keep you all just kind of at a good balance and let him come back and get you back on course. Celebrating Christ the King is also important because it says something about how we are to live, how we're supposed to live in our lives, how we are supposed to make a difference to what happens in this world. And I think that's very important. A few weeks ago, Pam and I had the privilege of being on a trip of a lifetime, and we were in Amsterdam, and we were going down the canal and in a boat, and a gentleman said, "That home right over there is where Anne Frank lived and where she hid and protected a lot of Jewish people." And I thought about that, and I remembered a man by the name of Henry Kramer. He was a Dutch theologian and a very important person during World War II. And several of the Christian Dutch people went to him and said, "We have noticed that some of our Jewish neighbors have disappeared and they've not come back. And we don't know what to do. Can you tell us? Can you tell us what must we do to make a difference?" And the poignant words that he shared were these: "I cannot tell you what to do. I can tell you who you are. And if I know, and if you know who you are, you will know what to do." Isn't that powerful? If we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we know what we're supposed to do. Make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, one of the themes that we talk about. We know what we should do. And then I went to a museum that showed what happened to the people there in Holland and around in Amsterdam and down through the war experiences. And there were those Christian people who joined the Dutch resistance movement, who were made up primarily of Christians, who risked their lives in order to hide and feed and protect their Jewish brothers and sisters. They did it because they knew who they were. And that's an important thing. I believe the challenge in our life is to become aware of what is already divinely inside of us, that God gives all of us, and learn how to bring that fullness out through our lives of knowing that we are called to love one another in spite of, through our generosity and our sacrificial awareness of life. We are called to awaken ourselves to the larger self that we can become. And that's important. God keeps replenishing. He keeps replenishing us when we need that gift. Once we give it away, He replenishes us with the energy and the love and resources to do more. And that's what those people did when they realized who they were and what they were supposed to do. John declares in Revelation that God loves us, and God has freed us from our sins by His blood and made a kingdom of priests. We are called to be a kingdom of priests serving the Lord. You know, over the years, people have come to me and said, "Hey, preacher, let's do a study of Revelation and the book of Revelation." I said, "Okay, what are you wanting to know?" "I want to know about all that symbolism. I want to know all about what's happened in the wars and the battles and the struggles and what does it all mean?" And there were a couple of times we had studies that became somewhat confrontational, and I thought, this isn't what we need to be doing. I said, there's only one thing to define and one final line in the book of Revelation, and that is, God wins. God wins. Why? "For He loved the world, and He said, 'Whosoever believeth in Me shall not perish, but have life everlasting.' And He invites us to follow His Son, Jesus Christ, and to walk in the steps of life." And that's important. And that's what Christ the King is all about. It's an exciting moment when we stand up and say, "I believe in Jesus Christ. We have a King. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and He lives forever and ever and ever." And the church says, "Amen." A little better. Amen. I appreciate that, Jack. Let us pray. Oh God, sometimes we just need to take a moment to readjust our focus and our thoughts. Time when we need to allow you to let us step back a moment and understand what we are about, who we are, and what we should do. Thank you for the day, for the privilege of sharing, and for the moment we call worship and praise and honor. In Christ we pray. Amen.